Good to see you again tonight. Thank the Lord for this day. Thank Him for His blessings. I appreciate you people, your joy to be with, and I certainly enjoyed my time here. Turn with me in your Bibles to the 42nd chapter of Isaiah tonight. And I'm going to preach on something that's been on my mind for the last several weeks. That is, He shall not fail. That's our text in chapter 42 in verse number 4. It says, He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till He have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for His law. This chapter starts out with, Behold. And here the prophet speaks, and it's God. He's saying, My servant, behold My servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, In whom I uphold. He says, Mine elect, in whom My soul delighteth. I have put My spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Look at verse number 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. This is My name, and My glory will I not give to another, neither My praise to graven images. He shall not fail. Where is hope among men? Can you trust in your flesh or another man's flesh? Our trust, our hope, our peace, and our rest is not in man, but it's in the Messiah that this is speaking of, the Lord Jesus Christ. The servant that is set before us, the mediator that is set before us, the redeemer that is set before us, and the Savior that is set before us. There's the word behold. And this is something that we to do. Behold our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at all times and all seasons. John the Baptist says, Behold the Lamb of God. I had this thought this afternoon, coming from the book of John, our Lord's priestly prayer. And if you behold the Lord Jesus Christ, behold Him in the sense of the word, beholding Him as Savior and Redeemer, the Lord of all. You know what it tells us in the book of John? One day we're going to behold His glory. It tells us that there in that chapter, we'll behold His glory. So we are to behold the Lord of glory, and we look at Him, and here He's brought before us as a servant. He says, My servant. And this is His humiliation. Our Lord is exalted in His exaltation now. He lived in this world, and when He lived here, it's called humiliation. And certainly it was, as He went to the cross and so forth and so on. But now He's exalted. He's at the right hand of the Father. But here He says, Behold My servant. That position that He took upon Himself. It's amazing He chose this, didn't He? He came voluntarily and took upon Himself as a servant. Then you notice also it says, Whom I uphold. And He says, Mine elect. is chosen of God. He's chosen for atonement. He's chosen for their salvation. Then notice God says, whom my soul delighteth. He's well pleased with him, isn't he? Always been. He delights in the mediator, his only begotten son. And then he tells us in verse number 4 that this one and only shall not fail. Now, if we look at Adam and the history of Adam, what do we find? Failure. We look at mankind, and what do we find? Failure. We look at ourselves, what do we find? Failure. But in Christ, says he shall not fail. God's glorious purposes is carried out in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about him, we talk about his accomplishments. This ever-living Lord who's at the right hand of the Father, we behold him with the eyes of faith, and we behold him as God's servant. We behold him as God's elect, the one that he delights in. And he's the one that is appointed deliverer of that of his people. So our text tonight says, he shall not fail. That is, whatever that he undertakes. I'm glad of that. He came to save. That means that he's not going to fail. He's not going to fail to save that of his people, is he? And he's going to save every one of them. Turn with me over to Isaiah 53, that great chapter of the gospel of Isaiah, that he continues to write the gospel, and look at verse number 11. And I want you just to be reminded of these shalls. Now, I like shalls in the Bible when it says God shall. I like those. I don't care anything about man, but when God says he shall, we know it's going to happen and it shall be done. And look at verse number 11, the 53rd chapter. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see. Now, that tells us that what he came to do, he's going to perform. It also says up here, he shall, at verse number 10, see his seed. That is, he lives. He's going to see his seed. He's going to see his fruit. That is the believers. That is his church. And it also says that he shall prolong his days. He's ever living, Christ is. And it says the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You and I, we fail. We become discouraged. But he shall not. He's going to accomplish the purposes of God. We see his travail, and that speaks of the cross, the suffering, the dying, and there is a certainty of success. He shall see that of his seed, the fruit of his labor. There's going to be success. He's going to enjoy fruit. He's going to obtain, and there's no miscarry at the cross. Oh, what a terrible doctrine when people talk about miscarry at the cross. There's no miscarry at the cross. He accomplished at the cross. He accomplished, and there's a people given unto him. They're given unto him by the way of reward. And they're also given to him by the way of charge. Our Lord prays and he says, thine they were, and thou givest them me. They were given to him before the world. And they tell us, the scripture tells us, that he is satisfied. And you know that's going to be for all eternity. isn't it? Amen. It's going to be for all eternity. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21 says, He shall save His people from their sins. There is the accomplishment of the work. And not only that, there is accomplishment of the work of applying salvation to hearts and lives. His people, they're stubborn. They're going their own way. They're rebellious. They have hard hearts. And they have to be conquered by grace. Sovereign and free grace. He has to give light in darkness. He has to deliver from bondage. And our text says He shall not fail. So what we have taught to us is this. That the great undertaking of the Lord, and let's just think for a moment about a single soul, what it takes to save a single soul. That's a marvel in itself. That's a miracle in itself. But let's think about what it takes to save the whole church. Boy, He's going to accomplish that, isn't He? The whole, He's going to accomplish that. Man's in darkness, the scripture says. He's at enmity and in bondage. And look at this great undertaking. Look what it takes to save one soul. But here's the Lord, and He's going to save His whole church. And He shall not fail. What a great achievement. And what a great task is before Him. All the multitudes and from that of Adam, Dan's been saved. And we don't know how long this world's going to last, but there's His people throughout the world, His multitudes. So it's a great undertaking. And we find that He shall save His people. We look at sin and how sin holds people. The darkness, man's dead according to the scriptures, spiritually dead. Sin's a destroyer. And it afflicts man. I remember one time years ago when I was a young boy, my dad set a fire out and these hornets would fly into it and they'd fly right into this fire and burn their wings off. But nevertheless, they just kept flying right into it. That's how sin is. It destroys. But what we find is that the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ saves a soul. And that's the only thing that saves a soul. It takes His power to draw one. And there's none going to come except they're drawn by the Spirit of God. Because man's going in the opposite direction. Oh, how thankful we are that there's a drawing power of the Spirit of God. It's a conquest. Do you know when it speaks of creation, it speaks of God's fingers. But when it speaks of salvation, it's speaking of His arm. His powerful arm. He is Lord of lords and Lord of all heaven and earth. And I ask you tonight, will He fail? Will the incarnate one fail? Will Christ of glory fail and be defeated? Will the chosen one fail? God has placed it all upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the covenant then is sure in Christ Jesus. There's honor and glory upon the mediator, and there's a trust in Christ, and the Father upholds Him, and He shall not fail. He says, mine elect, my chosen, I delight in Him. He's the very chief delight of the Father. You know, He said of this world, God, when He created, He made it good. He didn't say He delighted in it, but just said He made it good. In Christ, He says, I delight in Him. He's filled with delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none like Him. We look at Him and we see the sun and we just think about Him and the Father's delight in Him. The Spirit is upon Him. There's the fullness of the Godhead bodily upon in Him, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested upon Him. Will He fail? Will the Godhead fail? No, He cannot fail. Christ is owned and honored and trusted and sustained and loved and anointed. God has spoken, and He says He shall not fail, and that it shall be, because He's spoken it. Now here's something else about all of this. His work is different. The Scripture says it's not weapons that are carnal, but how does He work? Now, just think about this. He shall not fail. How does He work? We find that He works with the gospel truth. He works with His word. You see, militaries, and armies, and all of this, but God works with His word. His precious word. And He works by that of His own truth. It goes forth. And here's the wonder of it, that is proclaimed by that of lowly men. Now, much of the Bible, God used shepherds. Now, that wasn't a high-ranking office, was it? It was shepherds. God used them. And here it is. God uses those that are made out of clay to spread that of His word. It's not the high ups, and it's not kings and rulers and presidents and all of this. But it's His gospel. It's the message of grace. It's the message of mercy. And again, it's not the eloquence of the preacher and the great talents of the preacher or being a scholar and so forth and great pomp, but it's the message of Christ. You know, we've learned this Bible is Christ, isn't it? That's what we've learned. And it's a treasure in earthen vessels that we have. It's Christ from the beginning. Now, I've met people that says, we was talking about this the other day. I heard a fellow preaching one night. He said, there's just two or three letters for us in this Bible. I said, aren't you glad it's not for you? Just two or three letters of Paul. See? Oh, is Christ from the beginning to the end. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Holy Spirit, He drops the word like dew in our hearts. He's a giver of divine life. James said, by His own will, He has begotten us with the truth. That's so important. When we think about it, how He begets us. And here again is how He works. The power of the gospel through the Holy Spirit is how He works. And goes on and says, He'll not be discouraged. He'll continue to work. He'll work to the end. He's patient. And, you know, He always gets the fruit at the right time. You know, man wants to pick it green. And green fruit, just not much. I like good apples, don't you? Good apples. Lord, He knows when to pick the fruit. And He picks it ripe. Now, He shall not fail. Let's talk about His finished work. And He's not going to fail in that of His finished work for His people. The Bible says He's brought in everlasting righteousness, and we see Him as He is upon the cross, and And as he bore the penalty of our sin, and he bore the penalty there, the words from him is, "It is finished." There's his toil and his grief, and the Bible says he was set like a flint. He was determined to go to that cross and die for that of his people, and pay everything that was owed to divine justice. He bore the shame and the curse of our very sin. He bore that. And the scripture says even the Father turned his back, didn't he, when he was made sin for us. But he never turned aside. We see preserving love, everlasting love. And I see it as love to the Father and also love to his elect. There is a finished redemption. This is what he did upon Calvary's cross. It's a complete redemption. And that's not going to fail. If you don't have a finished redemption and a complete redemption, you don't have a redemption. Do you? It's a finished redemption. It's a complete redemption. That's what he accomplished. And people talk about, well, you've got to finish it. No, Christ finished it. He finished it. And so he's not going to fail. He finished it. Now, he also finishes the work in his people. He finished it for his people. And he's going to finish it in his people. They're going to be completely saved. It says he obtained an eternal salvation, didn't he, for that of his people. Over in the book of Philippians, in chapter 1 of Philippians, in verse number 6, a wonderful verse that we have. It tells us here in this verse, it says, being confident. Paul writes and he says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I don't worry where there's a good work begun. If there's not a good work begun, that's a different situation, isn't it? But if he's begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's going to be performed. He will not fail. Lord begins. He's not going to quit. He's not going to be taken from that of his purpose. That's the marvel of grace. And we just think about him and so much in ourselves. We look at ourselves, but he doesn't grow weary and quit the work. Aren't you glad? I've started a lot of things. Several years ago, my friend and I, we ordered these clock units, and we was going to start making clocks. We've never made a clock yet. I mean, there's many things I've started. I never did finish. But our Lord finishes those things. I'm glad. He doesn't grow weary. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our backsliding. He knows our ingratitude. You know, we've read verses tonight in the prayer room and out here, the brother did, on giving thanks to the Lord. But I'm afraid we times have ingratitude. Lord, to have all gratitude, hadn't we? Thanks to him. He knows all of this. But he'll not fail nor be discouraged till it's all done. See, it's different with him than it is man. Then also he's going to finish his work by his people, that of the church. You know, he sends the church forth and he says, I send you forth. He's the one behind sending us forth. It's the Almighty One, and there's his power that goes with his people and with his church, and there's his power that goes before his church. And there's going to be no defeat of that of his church. There's not going to be any defeat of that of his gospel and of his truth and of his grace. There's no failure. Just as it tells us here in verses 7 there, and 6 and 7, he's going to open the eyes of the blind. He's going to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. He's going to open and give liberty, give sight. He will not fail. Let me just give you just a few things right quick, and that he's not going to fail. He's a shepherd that will not fail. A shepherd. He's going to care for that of his sheep. He's going to enfold that of his sheep. And he's going to gather that of his sheep. I must bring. That don't sound like failure, does it? I must bring. And there's his sheep. And he's a shepherd that's not going to fail. That's a beautiful picture in the scripture. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. We don't lack with the Lord. We have it. He's not going to fail as a friend. You know, friends, they come. A lot of times friends go. But our Lord says he sticketh closer than a brother, doesn't it? He's a friend that's not going to fail. You can count on this friend. He's not going to fail as a refuge. That is, in times of trouble, times of danger, a refuge is set for safety. And our Lord is a refuge for that of safety, isn't it? He's a refuge for us that are in trouble. We go to him. He's a foundation that's not going to fail. When you build upon Christ, he's not going to fail. You build upon sand, the Bible says that when the rains come, you know what happens. But here's a foundation. He's the rock. And he's not going to fail. He's an altar. He's our one and only altar. And that is that his sacrifice. He's that one altar, our altar. And he's the appointed altar. And he's the living way. And he's that altar that we go to God. And we find acceptance. What a wonderful thing it is to read in the book of Ephesians, we're accepted in the beloved. He's a sweet smelling savor, the scripture says. Sacrifice. So here's an altar. This altar is not going to fail. These people that depend upon a wooden altar, what's that? Christ is our altar. He's our head. And our head is a living head. And our head is not going to fail. He's bishop of our souls. Now I like that. That is overseer. Now, who would you want to be the overseer of your soul? I want one that will not fail. And that's Christ. He will not fail. He's overseer. We find also that as we look at him, he is King of Kings. Doesn't that speak that he will not fail? He's Lord of Lords. That speaks that he will not fail. He's mediator. And he's the one mediator between God and man. And if he failed, it wouldn't be. It'd all be failure. But he can't fail. He will not fail. He's mediator. Job speaks out it that he's umpire. Like it, he takes the hand of God and he takes us and he brings us together. That's what the mediator does. He brings us. And he'll not fail. Oh, the Bible sets out much about him being mediator. I was listening to old Ralph Barnard one time, and old Ralph said, "You may not need one, but I do. I need a mediator." He's our high priest. Now, you think about this. There's just one high priest. All these other priests, the so-called priests, and men want to call them priests, and another. Right failure right over them. But our high priest, he shall not fail. He intercedes for us. He's our advocate. He's a high priest. And he's not only priest, but he's a sacrifice. Both, isn't he? So we see he's not going to fail. Now you can just carry this and you can just carry it as far as you want to. But let me give you this thought. Christ is all in all. And I'll tell you that tonight that the all in all can't fail. He can't. The psalmist wrote this. And I used it for a funeral several years ago. And it's always sort of stuck in my mind. The psalmist says he's going to give grace and glory. You know, those two things go together. It's not just grace, but it's grace and glory. And it's not glory without grace. But he's going to give grace and glory. Amen. And so it says, he shall not fail. You can put your trust right here. You can put your confidence right here. I would not advise you to put it in any man. You put it in the God man. You put it in him. He shall not fail. Glory to his name. Give him thanks. Give him honor. Oh, bless his name. You know, we all the time talking about blessing us. Scripture speaks and the psalmist speaks about blessing his name. And we talk about blessing, that's something coming to us. But you bless his name. Give him the blessings. Bless his name. Give him spiritual sacrifices. Thanks. Because he shall not fail. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we spend together this day. And we just thank you that our Lord, as he set up and as he come forth, that he shall not fail. Let us ponder and think upon this, and it give us that of comfort and gives us a surety and life that he shall not fail. We know you'd ride over man and ride over Adam and all failure. But the second Adam, our Lord and Savior, he shall not fail. Bless these people, we pray, as we bless your name. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.